This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town. Digital Economy Feature.
The Digital Economy Feature is brought to you by Accenture. Partner with Accenture to apply innovation now and experience a new level of growth. While the minister in charge of the fourth industrial revolution doesn't know her capitals from her countries, the inexorable march of technology continues at such a rapid pace and scale that it's just becoming the ordinary, really. The extraordinary becoming the ordinary. I've got Brian Armstrong, professor in the chair of digital business at the Wits Business School, back with us to talk about what this means in the South African context. Brian, good to see you again.
Michael, always good to be back on the show.
Now, it's getting a lot of attention. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
The fact that we're talking about it, and it is everywhere, things like automation, lots of buzzwords, lots of alarming headlines still. But with all of this discussion, there's seldom an explanation of what the digital economy actually is.
Mm. Well, the digital economy started, it comes from back in the 90s, there was talk about the internet economy and how the internet is affecting business and affecting the economy. And the term actually flows out of that era. And I think now we recognize that digital, new technologies, technological change is affecting business in so many ways that you could say the definition, the formal narrow definition of the digital economy is that part of the economy that is impacted by technological change on patterns of both consumption as well as production and delivery. But when you look at it like that, you realize that consumption, entire market sectors are being created, other markets are being completely disrupted. Virtually everything that a company does, from the products it serves, the way it produces those products or services, the way it engages customers, is being impacted by new technology. So we recognize that the digital economy is not just the so-called ICT sector that sells technology and products. It's not even just the so-called tech companies like e-commerce players or digital banks. It is actually virtually the whole economy, because the whole economy is starting to be impacted by technology, both in terms of patterns of demand, patterns of consumption, the way we produce products, the way we distribute them, the way we create differentiation, the way we achieve cost advantage, and the way we engage with customers.
There was a great example that sprang to mind yesterday with the release of the Competition Authority's report into the land-based transport sector, and in particular looked at e-hailing services like Uber and Lyft, and said, you know, there's so many regulations that are archaic that apply to your so-called traditional metered taxis that we should actually do away with them, because they're making them uncompetitive, the traditional metered taxis, with these new e-hailing services. So it's a digital solution, a part of the digital economy, intersecting with traditional four-wheeled motor cars that move people around.
I would agree entirely. The way I like to think about it is we tend to think of Uber or Airbnb and Amazon and Facebook as tech companies. But we've always actually considered companies by what they sell to the market. So banks sold transactional banking services and credit facilities and so on, and taxis sold transport. Now, Uber, in my opinion, by that definition, is a transport business. Airbnb is a hospitality business. Facebook is a media business. Amazon is a retailer. And if we think of it that way, we see that the entire economy is actually starting to be impacted by the digital economy. And certainly almost no industry is, how should we say, safe or exempt from digital competitors coming in and disrupting their market, either in terms of disrupting demand for the products, by substituting the products, by changing the way we engage with customers, by changing the way we produce those products or services, the way we supply and distribute those.
Now, Brian, you've been part of a team of researchers looking at what all of this means for a society like South Africa.
Yeah.
In particular, you've been focused on looking at what the proliferation of the digital economy means for inclusion. Making sure that everyone can access it is vital. And obviously, economic opportunities are critical in South Africa as well. Where do you even start to tackle such a broad research question?
So, I mean, I was a contributor to what's called the South Africa in the Digital Age Initiative, abbreviated SADA. And SADA was really looking at two things. What are both the opportunities, but also what are the imperatives of the challenges that we have to address? And for example, the opportunities was, how do we create labor-consuming platforms like Uber or Airbnb? How do we create more of them? How do we establish South Africa as a hub for frontier technology services? How do we find a way to update our thinking around business process outsourcing, that South Africa can be a player in globally traded services. So there are real opportunities which we need to focus on. But the other side was, what are the imperatives? And there were four broad imperatives. The first was universal digital inclusion, which I'm going to come back to. That was the part I particularly contributed to. There was also the issue of, what government support do we need? What do we need to do to think about changing the dynamics of human capital in South Africa? And finally, how can we support innovative businesses? Now, the universal digital inclusion is really important, because we are often tempted to think narrowly that digital inclusion is just about, if people simply have affordable access to the internet, everything's fine.
Right.
But modern thinking around digital inclusion recognizes that access is only the first of a three-tier model or way of understanding digital inclusion. Yes, we need affordable, available access to the digital infrastructure. But once we have access, we also need to be encouraged to use it. It has to be usable, and it has to have applications and services that we want to use that actually drives usage. Because actually in South Africa, we have 99.6% 3G coverage. It's there. People might argue it's too expensive, and hopefully the Competition Commission's findings on the data market inquiry will address the affordability. But that still doesn't necessarily mean 90% of South Africans or 99% will use the internet. And there's a lot of things we need to do to drive usage, and that ranges from relevance of applications, it ranges from education and skills, it ranges from language issues. And then the third tier, even once people use it, is it creating impact in their lives? Are they using it to improve the way they engage with social institutions and the economy? Are they using it to engage in networks? And are they using it to improve their education and transact and become part of the digital economy? So yes, we need available, affordable access, but we also need to drive usage, and we also need to make sure that that usage is beneficial and impacts people's lives.
And that is the nub of all of this, because if you're not building things that matter, that people can use, that are affordable, and that people know how to use them, and they're actually making an impact, then it's really rather academic at the end of the day. And I can think of a labor-absorbing platform that has got a lot of profile over the last 24 months, Sweep South, which is this app that connects a pool of domestic workers via a very platformy type system to people who need a domestic worker on demand. Say you need one tomorrow, you go onto the app and you can go and select one. And that is just one example of, I'm sure, many others out there that could potentially be used in a market like South Africa. Just a concluding thought, Brian, on the SADA initiative. It's a very exciting initiative. It's a cross collaboration between even different business schools and institutions. So there is really a great energy around sharing here. It's not about owning the IP and in your little space. How can people get involved and become contributors if they've got ideas, if they want to engage with the research?
Well, SADA holds workshops firstly. The way we came up with these opportunities and these imperatives wasn't us guys trying to be smart and sitting in a so-called smoke-filled room and concocting these. They came up through a series of engagements in workshops where wide ranges of people were invited. And I suppose the way to get involved is go onto the South Africa in the Digital Age Initiative website, go SADA, Google it, go onto the website, and start posting inputs and put your hand up that you want to be involved, that you want to be part of the conversation. Because what is important about SADA is, yes, there's universities and consultancies and people involved, but it is about being practical. The first report was very much about practically, what can we do today? What can we do in 3 months? What can we do in 1 year to actually start moving the needle, rather than getting academic and theoretical and pontificating from on high?
Brian Armstrong, Professor in the Chair of Digital Business at the Wits Business School, in this week's Digital Economy feature in partnership with Accenture. Accenture believes in the new applied now. It stands for innovation, which is more than one thing. It's using uncertainty as a springboard to create business opportunity. It's about leveraging optimism to experience a new level of growth. It's converting big visions into future value. Innovation is the surest way to unlock value, and with the right partner, you can make informed and calculated decisions. Partner with Accenture today to experience a new level of growth.